Who should be the next president of the United States? That's the big question facing all of us this fall, and it's our big question debate this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 3rd. If the election were to be held today, who would get your vote and why? You can get a little unofficial early voting in online at WPR.org/joy or find the link to our poll on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also call us during this hour at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We will be welcoming in a couple of guests during this big question debate, as we always do, one who supports President Barack Obama and one who supports Governor Mitt Romney. And we will get them to make the case for their candidates. But first, let's remind you that this is our fall membership drive, and we are asking for your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and Bill, we fell just short of our goal last hour.
Yeah, just a little bit. Our goal was 25. We had 19, so six shy, but we can make up for that this hour. Our goal is 40, so let's see if we can get 46 and make up for last hour as well. And right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000, and that generous match is offered by a current WPR member who wants to encourage you to join in and support Wisconsin Public Radio. So get your pledge doubled right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What is this dollar-for-dollar match, Bill?
That means up to $2,000. If you make a pledge of, say, $100, that's as good as $200. So your pledge is going to go twice as far as it normally would, up to $2,000. So it's a great time to make that pledge to WPR. Again, we're looking for 40 of you by 8 o'clock, and you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wow, double your pleasure, double your fun, double your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Your pledge will have twice its impact. Your pledge helps pay. It helps to pay for all of the programs that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we are listener-supported radio. You're a listener, so won't you support us at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge any amount, and it will be doubled. There is also a special thank you gift that we are offering during this hour for a $120 pledge, $10 a month. You can get the snazzy new Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirt. And Bill, I think you see that over my shoulder. You can kind of describe it for us.
Yeah, it's a sharp t-shirt. It's got, it says Wisconsin Public Radio kind of right in the chest area, but those three words are sort of squeezed between a set of headphones, like what you and I wear here on the show. Wisconsin Public Radio with the headphones. Then underneath it, it has our website, WPR.org. And yeah, it's something that you can wear and tell everyone how proud you are to be a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio. And you can make that pledge again for $120 this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are going to be conducting a big question discussion on the presidential race during this hour. We hope to have our two guests sort of make opening statements, just like tonight President Obama and Mitt Romney will be making their opening statements in the first presidential debate. We will then also get our guests to talk about some of the domestic issues that we'll be focused on tonight in the debate, which will be broadcast live on the Ideas Network at 8 o'clock tonight. We'll talk a little bit about which candidate would do the best job when it comes to improving the economy and creating jobs, and who has the best tax policy, who has the best plan to reduce the deficit, for example. And we'll get
healthcare.
We'll talk about healthcare and Medicare as well. And we ask you, if you've already made up your mind in the presidential race, if the presidential race were held today, who would get your vote and why? That's today's big question. Every week, we look for a big issue that's facing the state or nation, and we find two guests to debate that issue. And we call it the big question. Now the big question is, how much is this worth to you? Is it worth a dollar a day? Is it worth $10 a month? Is it worth $5 a week. You decide how much to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio to help pay for the programming. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your pledge now, and it's doubled.
Absolutely. That's means if you pledge for, you know, $100 or $150 or $50 a year, that's just as good as being, you know, $200, $300, or $100. That means your pledge is doubled. And again, that offer is being presented by a current WPR member who wants to encourage you to join the WPR family and support Wisconsin Public Radio. So take advantage of that dollar-for-dollar offer this hour. Again, we're looking for 40 pledges this hour by 8 o'clock. I see we've got one already, so thank you to whoever that is. And you can get in on the act as well at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Bill, thanks very much. We'll check have you check in later and give us an update on how we're doing. We are going to welcome in one of our guests during this hour. We're having a little bit of an issue reaching the other. But let's get started with Brad Bannon, who is president of Bannon Communication Research, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm for Democrats, labor unions, and progressives. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show this morning.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here, and since you are a consulting firm for Democrats, labor unions, and progressives, I take it you are a supporter of President Barack Obama in the presidential election.
Well, not exactly. I'm a proud supporter of Barack Obama in the presidential election.
Well, let me. We did expect to have a conservative commentator and a supporter of Mitt Romney also join us. We'll continue to try to look for him. But let me ask you. Make your opening statement. Let's say you are President Obama at the debate tonight. What would be your opening statement as to why you should be reelected?
Well, my opening statement would be that there have been 30 consecutive months of job growth in this country after the president inherited an economy from President Bush. That was a disaster. Barack Obama has turned the economy around after George W. Bush has ran it aground. President Obama realizes that we're not where we want to go economically, but at least he's turned around the aircraft carrier and pointed it in the right direction. The aircraft carrier may not be where we want it to be, but at least it's pointed in the right direction, which it wasn't 4 years ago.
Now, I will play our other guest and say, but unemployment is still way too high. President Obama promised it would be lower than this when he started, based on the stimulus and his other policies. And his policies, our guest would argue, are preventing businesses from creating new jobs. They're too uncertain to do such a thing, and he needs to be replaced. He hasn't gotten the job done.
Well, who needs to be replaced is the Republican majority in the House of Representatives. They have haven't even voted on a lot of the proposals that President Obama sent them to improve the economy. For instance, earlier this year, the president introduced the American Jobs Act, which would have created 1 million new jobs. The House of Representatives didn't even take a vote on it. They didn't even let there be a debate on it. They sat idly by when they had an opportunity to pass the president's proposal that it would have significantly improved the economy. So the reality is I not only hope that voters elect Barack Obama, but they elect a new Democratic majority in the House of Representatives who are at least give the president's economic and job proposals serious consideration, which this Republican House hasn't even bothered to. You know, the first priority of Republicans in Washington has not been to create jobs or even to reduce the federal budget deficit. The first priority, as the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said, is to make sure that Barack Obama doesn't serve a second term. And with that kind of obstructionism, which they proudly talk about, it's not that you hide it or anything, I think it's time we give the president another 4 years and elect a Democratic Congress that will at least seriously consider his proposals.
Well, what would the proposals be that would create more jobs and get the economy roaring again?
Well, I would go back to the American Jobs Act, which the president proposed early this year, which the Republican House did not even consider or debate. In there, there would have been tax breaks for businesses that hire new employees. There would be a federal grant to state and local governments so they don't have to fire public employees. And also, there would be money in there to create new green energy jobs and construction jobs. And again, the Republican House of Representatives wouldn't even consider debating it on the floor, much less voting to support it.
The Romney supporters would say President Obama wants to increase taxes on the job creators, and that is not a recipe for success. What's your response to that?
Well, the so-called job creators have had tax breaks now for 10 years, and they haven't created any jobs. There's no evidence at all that the Bush tax breaks for wealthy Americans have created any jobs. And it doesn't make sense. It was an experiment that didn't work. They've had 10 years to create jobs with the tax breaks they got, and it's time for them to pay their fair share.
Well, we have located our second big question debater. Lenny McAllister is with us, a conservative commentator, former talk radio host, author of the new book, Spoken Thoughts of an Amalgamated Advocate in Today's America. And Lenny McAllister joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me today. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry that we had a little miscommunication there, but we have you now. We have already heard from Brad Bannon, who is president of Bannon Communications Research, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm for Democrats, labor unions, and progressives, about why he is a proud supporter of President Barack Obama. Let's hear from you now why you think Governor Mitt Romney ought to be elected the next president of the United States.
Well, I think it's interesting to hear what he was saying in regards to the Bush tax cuts and how ineffective they were, because it's, you know, there's two glaring facts about those tax cuts and the idea of allowing more Americans to keep money in their pockets for investment to help their families, et cetera. The first thing is there were three times when a president put into place tax cuts for the quote-unquote millionaires and billionaires. The first two times, that president's last name was Bush. The third time it happened, that president's last name was Obama. And I think it's very convenient for the progressives and the Democrats to overlook the fact that as this president is being championed as a defender of the rights of Latinos with this executive order in 2012, he conveniently put the Bush tax cuts in front of the DREAM Act in 2010. As well, if we go and do an actual review of history, not revisionist history, we will see that those Bush tax cuts, when they were put into place in the earlier part of last decade, after the recessions that hit as a result of 9/11, we saw the unemployment rate go down. After a result of those tax cuts, we saw us fend off what was supposed to be an economic calamity after the attacks on our homeland. So for those that say it did not have an impact, it wrecked our economy, et cetera, they forget that unemployment after 9/11 spiked up to about 6.3%, and because of these tax cuts, it went right back down to about 4.9% about 12, 13 months later. So there's a little bit of mythology going on about the ineffectiveness of the Bush tax cuts, which would lead to the reason why President Obama, in a lame duck session, with the Democrats still in control of both houses of Congress, signed the Bush tax cuts into law for another 2 years in 2010. Now, with that said, I think that if President Obama is willing to admit that we need more of a balanced approach and less of a super partisan approach to guiding politics, it would make sense to put somebody in place that has the experience of working with Democrats and still being able to be a sound centrist, a sound, even dare I say, moderate Republican to get stuff done. Yes, that term, a moderate Massachusetts moderate, was a dirty term in the primary. But when you start talking about how do you guide a nation that is divided by partisanship, divided by ideology, and stuck in a rut, in a logjam, you have to look between these two gentlemen and say, who has the experience of working across the aisle to get things done? Is it a president that was able to get health care reform passed through a bunch of, dare I say, bribes, the Louisiana Purchase, the Cornhusker kickback, and a lot of partisanship and partisan fighting, or an executive that has the business experience to create jobs and the legislative experience to work across the aisle in a situation that was slanted against him? If we have what we have right now, the Senate's going to still be Democratic. We're going to need a president that can talk to both chambers of Congress and get things done immediately.
Lenny, jump in. I need to jump in. We have a break time, and then we'll continue talking with Lenny McAllister and Brad Bannon in this edition of Our Big Question, which is, if the presidential election were held today, who would you vote for and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Quick check of our weather forecast. It is going to be sunny and mild today. A slight chance of showers in eastern Wisconsin this afternoon with most highs in the low to mid-70s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with two guests, one who supports President Obama and one who supports Governor Romney in the presidential election. And we wonder who you support and why. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also vote in our online poll, a little unofficial early voting. You can find the online poll at wpr.org/joy or linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, let me ask Brad Bannon to respond to Lenny McAllister's comments that, hey, President Obama extended the, you know, so-called Bush-era tax cuts. And, so why did he do that?
I don't know why the president did it, but I was vehemently opposed to the president when he did it. I think giving tax breaks to bankers and billionaires has proved to be a failure. When George Bush left the White House, the economy was a train wreck. There's been only one president in the last generation who has left the White House with a budget surplus, and that was a Democrat, Bill Clinton. Ronald Reagan, the first President Bush, and the second President Bush all left a sea of red ink that would drown Michael Phelps. The other thing is, I don't think Governor Romney has talked very effectively about being nonpartisan. In a recent video, he wrote off 47% of the American public that he said, and I quote, he doesn't care about. That's not bipartisanship. I'll also point out that Mitch McConnell, the Republican minority leader, said publicly that his first priority was to make sure Barack Obama didn't serve a second term. He didn't say his first priority was creating jobs. He didn't say his first priority is cutting the deficit. He said his first priority was to make sure Barack Obama didn't serve a second term. That's exactly the approach that Republicans have taken to the president's proposals.
Now, Lenny McAllister, I want you to tell us how Mitt Romney is going to create jobs and improve the economy, as that's what's going to be debated tonight. And we had heard from Brad Bannon about what President Obama would do. What would Governor Romney do to improve our economy and create new jobs?
if I may, I will definitely get to that, Joy. I'm going to be very quick in just responding to that. The difference between Clinton, Reagan, and the two Bushes is the fact that Clinton really didn't face a war. Ronald Reagan was fighting the Cold War. You had the first Bush that had Desert Storm, and you had the second Bush that had to deal with 9/11. So you're talking about wartime presidents versus a peacetime president. Of course, President Clinton
was going
to have
9/11
that opportunity.
Didn't have anything.
Okay,
hold on, Brad. It did, because we did have two wars. And on top of that, President Clinton was pushed by the Republican Revolution to do some things, including welfare reform. So let's make sure we keep that in context. In regards to Mitch McConnell, he is the minority leader in the Senate. He's not the person running for president. And we know that Mitt Romney was talking about an electorate in his campaign strategy, not writing off people as far as working with once he became president. Now, to Joy's question, in regards to creating jobs when it comes to this economy, we understand that we need people to feel comfortable in the tax environment that's going to be in place, the regulatory environment that's going to be in place, and they need to be able to compete globally. When the United States has the highest corporate tax rate in the world, when the United States is in flux constantly when it comes to how we're going to tax, how is the Affordable Care Act, or as others call it, Obamacare, going to impact small business owners? How is that going to impact families? How are we going to deal with these regulations where in some instances we're pushing for green economy and green energy, but not doing it in an efficient way that allows us to continue to use all of the natural resources that we have here to become energy independent? We have to start investing in those things, and not from a government perspective exclusively. We're going to have to start looking at how do we allow the entrepreneur, the innovator, the private citizen, the private industry to be able to invest in that in the most optimal and efficient way possible to get this economy back on track to create jobs. And you do that by allowing people to take home more of their money.
And we give the last minute of this segment to Brad Bannon to respond to Governor Romney's jobs plan.
Governor Romney has said his economic blueprint is Paul Ryan's budget, which was passed by the Republican majority in the House of Representatives. Governor Romney has publicly endorsed and said he would sign the Ryan budget if it came to his desk in the White House. The Ryan budget abolishes Medicare. The Ryan budget leaves in $4 billion a year in tax breaks for oil companies, hundreds of billions of other dollars for tax breaks for other companies, and of course the Romney-Ryan-Bush tax break for bankers and billionaires. It cuts funding for school lunches. It cuts funding for prenatal care for pregnant women. It cuts student college loans, and all to cut taxes for bankers and billionaires and oil companies.
We need to leave it there for now. We will return after the news and talk more about health care and Medicare. This is The Big Question. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is Wisconsin Public Radio's fall membership drive. We'll get back to our big question in just a moment, but right now our goal is to keep bringing you discussions like this. We do that in part because of your contributions. Your gift of any amount right now makes a big difference as we raise the money we need to make these discussions possible. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And this is a fantastic hour for you to make your pledge, because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000 in effect right now. So for every dollar you give, a current WPR member is going to donate an additional dollar. So if you pledge $50, it's as good as $100. So go ahead and make that pledge right now. Double the impact by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you hear from the person who wrote the bill or who wrote the book or who has a unique expertise. We're glad to seek out these people and get them on the show. We're privileged, in fact, to do so, but we need your help to make it possible. Make great radio happen right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Giving really couldn't be easier. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and, of course, how you'd like to pay for it.
Save time and money. Use a credit card if you can, or better yet, you can start automatic, sustaining donations from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it. Whatever amount you decide to pledge right now, it's likely it will be matched dollar for dollar because we have this wonderful opportunity, this challenge grant in place right now. So make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we hear great stories from WPR listeners every day, usually about how WPR touches their lives. And the donor comments you hear during the pledge drive are good examples, like Bonnie from Viroqua, who says, "I listen every day and learn something every day, too." Well, there you go. Well put, Bonnie. So, yeah, Joy, we hear comments like that all throughout this drive.
Yeah, and these stories remind us of how we are connected to each other as a community. We all love great radio programs, the programs that engage us, inspire us, or make us think. Your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes great Wisconsin Public Radio experiences possible for you and for the community.
There are a lot of ways to make a positive difference in your community, and here's one that's simple and powerful. Become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. All it takes is a couple of minutes to set up an ongoing contribution of $10 or $20 a month. Your generosity will enrich the lives of more than 200,000 people who listen to WPR every day.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we are asking for you to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio and help pay for the programs that you count on. Your gift can be $50 or $100 or $500 or more, whatever amount is right for you. Please pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People often talk about the high quality of life here in Wisconsin. We've got, if you think about it, great state parks, a respected university system, wonderful libraries, and of course, Wisconsin Public Radio is also part of that high quality of life here in the Badger State.
Well, that's right. And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you enjoy lively discussions, in-depth news, great music, and entertainment. We certainly try to cover the most important public policy and political issues of the day during this 7 o'clock hour each and every morning. This Big Question segment is a regular feature where we find two guests so you hear different perspectives on an issue every single Wednesday. So give now to help pay for the variety that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledging to WPR is a quick and easy process. And to make it even easier, make the switch to being a sustainer. A sustaining membership is one that automatically renews each year. So you choose a monthly gift amount, be it $5 a month, $10 a month. Any amount really can be a sustaining gift.
And as a sustainer, you will provide reliable funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. And as our thank you, we'll automatically enter you into all of our future sweepstakes and drawings. So make the switch, make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
By the way, you will enjoy WPR Pledge Free after 1 o'clock this afternoon. So enjoy that. But to make pledge-free afternoons possible, we need to all pull together during these earlier hours. So your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps keep this pledge drive efficient.
Bill, our goal is 40 pledges during this hour. We have 26 to go, and our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of Wisconsin Public Radio will go twice as far.
Yep, that's right. We've got about 20 minutes left to bring in 25 pledges this hour to reach that goal of 40. So go ahead and take care of that right now. And there you go. I mean, I was looking for another word there, and it just wasn't there. So sometimes that happens. That's why you're the host, Joy.
Yeah, WPR.org is where you make that pledge. Remember, we have that special $2,000 challenge grant in place from current members. They will match your pledge up to $2,000, and it's still in effect at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll catch you at the end of the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our Big Question Debate. We have two guests with us, one who supports President Obama and one who supports Governor Romney. And we welcome your input, too. Who are you going to vote for president and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let me reintroduce our guests. Brad Bannon is president of Bannon Communications Research, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm for Democrats, labor unions, and progressives. Also with us is Lenny McAllister, a conservative commentator, former talk radio host, author of the new book, Spoken Thoughts of an Amalgamated Advocate in Today's America. And we have a caller. Let me let Ann in Campbellsport bring up the next topic. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I just wanted to take issue with the comment about Romney being a successful businessman, if that would make him qualified to be president. The government is not a business. And when we consider Romney's blunders in recent foreign affairs, such as the Olympics or the Libyan crisis, we can see that he's simply not presidential material. And before I hang up, I just want to encourage everyone to please donate so we can keep programs like this on the air.
You're very kind. You're very kind, Ann. Thank you very much. Well, Lenny McAllister, Governor Romney's business experience does not make him qualified to be president, according to Ann. What's your response to that?
Well, I think that we're not looking at a wide range of people at this point in time. We're looking at a president who, over the course of 4 years, has seen the economic crisis get worse. People look at the unemployment rate go down, but they don't look at the workforce participation. They don't look at the apathy that's out there. They don't look at the youth unemployment. They don't look at how college students are worried about getting a job or paying off their student loans. Those crises have gotten worse. So if you're going to compare it to a guy that has a four-year record of not getting it done to somebody that has created private sector jobs, that has been able to create economic success in pockets, not only with fixing the Olympics, but also looking at what he was able to do, turn around some things in Massachusetts, as well as what he was able to do in the private sector. Between those two, they're going to go for Governor Romney. If we go back 4 years ago, I remind everybody about this 4 years ago. We had the same choice. Do we go in the same direction that we were going in over the last 2 years under what people considered Bush light, or do we go in a new direction? Here we are 4 years later. Do we continue to go in the same apathetic direction, or do we go in a new direction? Those Obama supporters that went in a new direction 4 years ago, if they followed the same philosophy of hope and change, they would be going hope and change and going for the Republican candidates this time around versus trying to stick to the Democratic mantra only because of party loyalty.
Let's get Brad Bannon to respond to that.
Well, I want to answer a comment on your caller's question. I think she was absolutely right.
Yeah, go ahead, Brad.
Okay. Do you want me to talk?
She said that his business experience didn't qualify him to be president. It wasn't necessarily a question, but you agree and why?
I agree. When in the years that Mitt Romney ran Bain Capital, he created lots of jobs. Unfortunately, they were in Mexico and China. What Mitt Romney would do is buy a company, then fire all the American employees, and then locate the country, the new company that he owned in China or Mexico, where he was able to pay dirt cheap wages to a lot of people, which allowed him to make a big profit. I think that the best way to illustrate Mitt Romney's attitude towards the American economy is that he has millions of dollars invested in banks in Switzerland and the Cayman Islands. If he really cared about the economy, he wouldn't have fired all those American employees he did when he ran Bain Capital, and he wouldn't be
banking his money in Switzerland and the Cayman Islands.
Mm-hmm. Lenny?
So
it's funny. I'm trying to be a little lighthearted with this, and Brad has his power gloves on. He's going to battle the evil Republican today, and it's as part of the narrative that's going on with the Democrats as well. This evil Republican was fighting against America, only created jobs overseas. He fired all the Americans, and he was the evil miser at the top of this empire that was against America the whole time. Listen, we're talking about a multimillionaire that had investments throughout the world, including here in America. We're talking about an individual that donated millions of dollars to charities here in America. And we're talking about entities, Sports Authority, and others that exist in America. These things don't just exist in China or just exist in India. You know, you're talking about NAFTA, which, by the way, was passed by President Clinton, that opened up global trade, that took some of these American jobs, including textile jobs and manufacturing jobs, and moved them elsewhere. That was under a Democratic president, and all of a sudden that was seen as being great. That's the same record that Brad was just bragging on in the 1990s, talking about economic prosperity, but it also led to jobs bleeding out of this country. And now we want to blame businessmen for trying to create prosperity here and prosperity for Americans in a global economy and call that being a demonizing act. I think we have to be very, very careful in regards to how we want to spin things. And again, I caution voters to get away from this revisionist history that you're hearing from the hard left when you start talking about what types of economic and governmental policies we actually had, both from the Democrats in the 1990s with the Republican help to kind of get things back on track, as well as what transpired 8 years ago, six of which were under Republicans, but the last two, when everything started crashing, was under the control of Democrats in both chambers of Congress, with Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi pushing a very hyper-partisan agenda.
Let me jump in, and because time is limited, let Jim in Green Bay bring up the next topic. Hello, Jim.
How are you today?
Good.
I'm just curious as to how anybody could be an Obama supporter when he has doubled the national deficit and is looking at doing another stimulus package. We don't have the money for this.
All right, Brad Bannon.
Well, if we don't have the money for stimulus, how come we have all the money to give $4 billion in tax breaks to big oil every year and hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks to bankers and billionaires? The Republicans always claim about the, cry about the deficit, and there is a deficit. But when you ask them to eliminate the $4 billion that the oil companies get every year in federal tax breaks, or you ask them to eliminate the tax breaks for bankers and billionaires, oh, no, we can't do that. But they complain about the budget deficit and don't want to do anything. Their answer to the economy is in the Ryan budget, which President Romney said he would sign if he was president. For some reason, even though we have a budget deficit, they continue the $4 billion in tax breaks to big oil. They continue the tax breaks to bankers and billionaires. And where they want to cut, they want to cut Medicare. They want to cut school lunch programs. They want to cut prenatal care for pregnant women. So they'd rather, help out bankers, billionaires, and oil companies than kids at school and, pregnant women.
All right. Lenny.
Brad, I'm going to ask you for the last 10 minutes of this debate to please stop reading off those talking points and try to actually get to more of the issues.
All those things are
about.
True. So
I didn't interrupt you.
He doesn't like you calling it a talking point, but go ahead.
He said bankers and billionaires and then oil companies. He's probably said it about five times over the last half an hour. I see that he continuously talks about the oil subsidies, but in Wisconsin and in the Midwest, you don't see Democrats talking about the farming subsidies. That if you want to start talking about closing loopholes, we got to start talking about closing all of these loopholes. We have hungry people in America, but yet we're paying subsidies for people to store up food to make sure that farmers have the subsidies that they need. So if we're going to start talking about that and demonizing the oil companies, let's talk about the farm subsidies as well. And I think that there are people on both sides of the aisle that are trying to look at a more positive way of doing that. He also continues to talk about bankers and billionaires, but let's go back to AIG. Who paid for the bonuses for AIG to get in 2009 when they were the ones that created this economic crisis? It was the Obama administration who gave out millions in bonuses and then tried to tax it at 100%. to try to fix their gap. So again, when we start looking at this, we start looking at some of the failures of the Obama administration, we start looking at the national debt, and we start looking at how do we put things in place to get our fiscal ship in order, to avoid the fiscal cliff that we're heading at, to avoid sequestration, and still at the same exact time start doing things in a more balanced approach. Take the daggone Simpson-Bowles approach that President Obama asked for to be put into place, or at least to be studied, and then ignored. We need a president that's not going to continue to demagogue these things and continue to go with the rhetoric and hope that he can gin up emotionalism to get people to the polls. We need people that are going to bring results for this economy immediately. And President Obama has had 4 years to do it, 2 years with a Democratic Congress and a supermajority, and he has not gotten it done.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Our time is done for our big question debate. The debate will continue for real, I guess, tonight with the presidential candidates meeting for the first time in the debate, which will be broadcast at 8 o'clock tonight here on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and you're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. We rely on listener contributions to pay for all the programs you enjoy here on the Ideas Network. During this, our fall membership drive, we are asking you to take action by becoming a contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you very much to everyone who helped meet that generous dollar-for-dollar challenge we had going earlier this hour. We're still looking for 11 more pledges by 8 o'clock, so that will help us meet that goal. Be the next person to help us along with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying our big question discussion. We do these big question debates every Wednesday between 7 and 8. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours to come possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just 2 minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. And whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. We don't share it with any other organization. Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, 10 more pledges to go to meet our goal of 40 pledges. We can do that with your help. Your gift will help us reach our goal. It's important to meet these hourly goals to stay on track to raise the amount in listener contributions that we need to pay for the programs that you count on. And here's an extra incentive. For $10 a month, a $120 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, we will send you, if you would like it, the new Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirt. Luann from Two Rivers said she had been thinking about pledging, and then she saw the t-shirt on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and she knew the time was now. She said, "I couldn't get through my mornings without Joy, Kathleen, and Larry." Thank you so much to Luann for her pledge, and apparently she picked up one of our snazzy new t-shirts, which have headsets or earphones that radio people wear surrounding the logo Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can look like a radio host, too, with your $120 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Schuster, a producer for The Joy Cardine Show. Like a lot of media, we tackle controversial issues, but on the Ideas Network, we do it differently. And we hear that time and time again from our guests.
I'm taking a position that I understand is not very popular, not very well understood. And in spite of that, having been on this program for an hour, I feel like I have been treated with great respect. I've been asked some good and difficult questions, but I haven't been lectured to or yelled at. And this is a rare model for the world, I think, that you've got here.
Well, there, a rare model to the world. Thank you so much to that guest. Our guests say that to us all the time, that that it's a wonderful experience for them, for the most part, too, that they hear great questions from our callers. They always say, what a intelligent audience you have on Wisconsin Public Radio. And that's right. You are intelligent enough to know that we need your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're getting close to that goal of 40 by 8 o'clock. We've got about 2 minutes left. We need 8 more. So go ahead and get to the your computer right now, WPR.org, or make the call, 888-202-2552, and help us reach that goal and ensure that the programs that you love here on WPR, like the Joy Cardine Show, are going to be here to stay.
Make your voice heard. Let us know that this program is important to you. You can vote in our online poll during today's big question. You can also vote with your wallet. These are ways of saying make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can do that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
About a minute and a half left here. We need seven more pledges to hit that goal, and you can do that at WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and ask for that new WPR t-shirt with your pledge of $120 or more, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bill, thank you very much. Thanks to Amanda Magnus and to Rob Ferret, who also produced this program. Thank you for your participation, and thank you for your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.